With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello guys, welcome to a new episode of the Partido a Partido podcast. So on today's episode, we'll be talking about Atleti's 2-0 victory over Celta Vigo. Joining me on today's episode is Luke. Luke, how are you doing?
They are fine. Better than Celta.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm sure all Cochineros are doing better than Celta at the moment. So, diving straight into the game, it's now back-to-back game for Atleti in La Liga, which they have kept a clean sheet, and in both games, Atleti have scored 5 goals. That says a lot about how Atleti are performing at the moment, because they have gradually gone from a chaotic team to a more organized team. So, Luke, please, can you give a rundown of the game against Celta?
It was quite the Atleti match was quite defensively secure from it. We felt really like we've patched things up with our problems. We've seen Gerard pick up the pace many times these past few matches, and especially this match. I think he had a good match despite not scoring. But I think the main headline is Lottie. He's, you know, his 2 goals and being in that position, which I talked about in the past podcast, which I like them to see. We had another outstanding performance we can talk about who got injured, so hopefully it was just a small knock. But overall, this is the Atleti that we miss so much. This is the Atleti that wins matches, gets them title.
Well, you just talked about Renan Lodi scored a brace, his first in his career, and that gave Atleti the win. And you talked about earlier in the game, Atleti kind of put pressure on Celta, and they were kind of a better team at Celta going into the game, but Atleti were steady thanks to Kondumbia. Looking at how Atleti has been playing this season, it's been really a surprise given as Silo put on Twitter, Atleti has gone from a binary team to a team that scored that plays 3-3 draws, 4-3 wins, and the rest. But in the previous 2 games, Atleti kept a clean sheet, which is very important. In today's game, we really saw the importance of Kondumbia, not just off the ball, like him bossing the midfield as he did against United, because he was superb. He's like the king of second balls, always anticipating where the ball is going to land after a header and wins back the ball, did the ball for the team. He recovered 8 balls this game, and it was great. And both goals were similar, because Kondumbia kind of played a switch to Lodi in behind Mayo, and Lodi kind of went to his right and then back to his left, and he scored. And Lodi said in a post-match interview just some minutes ago that the coach has been telling them to always shoot low, and he did that and he scored. And the second was really a golazo. He took the ball on the half volley and in between the goalkeeper's legs, and that was great. So, Luke, what's your take on Lodi's and Kondumbia's performance against them?
Who are the best players for Atleti? Lodi and Kondumbia, they were absolutely sensational. Obviously, you had Lodi with 2 goals. Playing well in that role that is not really seeing some Marcos Llorente. Well, see how things go. But yeah, Kondumbia. Yeah, such an anchor on midfield, and on that room for all the speciality jargon of trade matches and all the positions and all that. But yeah, Kondogbia is really suited that role that we brought him in for.
Well, lots of praise for Kondogbia because his performances recently have been really great, and he's just busting the midfield. So now let's talk about Lodi's new role. Basically, he's playing the same role Carrasco has in the team when the team plays three at the back, but given he's more of a runner than a ball to feet player, as compared to Carrasco, that's paying off, as we saw on both goals. When he used to play in the back four, he makes runs in behind and a pass over the top. The diagonal is played to him, and he then plays a cutback for the striker. I think Suarez equalizer against Celta Vigo last season was a similar situation. Kondogbia played the ball over the top, and Lodi was to pick out Lodi, who then play a cutback for Suarez to equalize for Aleti, and that was the same thing. So him playing that role kind of limits his defensive responsibilities, which is great for him, given he's very good going forward. And like we talked last time, his crosses are improving, which is great, because that was an area of his game since he came to Aleti that has really been lacking. And with him playing in a more offensive role, playing like in a hybrid right wing back, right midfield role, which has been paying off. So there have been talks about Lodi maybe Aleti letting go of him in the summer when Renildo came, but Renildo seems to be taking up Hermoso's position, which is playing as the left center back. So do you think this new role might change things for him? And I have seen some tweets about the fact that we may see a kind of Llorente resurrection in Lodi. So do you think that's possible?
Yeah, well, you've got a player, like, you've got a lot of you thinking, yeah, left back, Thompson left back. Then turns out, you know what, he's probably better playing up and role. These things happen, and it's obviously Llorente is a complete shock to the system. We had this, we were supposed to be buying this defensive midfield, and now it's just this. Probably at best is a left wing, even a second striker, where you could. It's just that's how the funny world of football works. But I think that, as well as I was saying before the United match, the rumor, seeing him. And said, you know, he played well there, so he is definitely better at that role than he is at left back. And with Ronaldo coming in, who is past few matches, you can make up a conclusion that he is better defensively than Lodi. But I've always rated Lodi's attacking style to his game.
And it's kind of funny because when we recorded the podcast about the transfer window, we're talking about the fact that Renato's signing is going to free Carrasco to cause more havoc, but that seems it seems Cholo as other ideas, and Renato's signing is kind of freeing up Lodi, and Lodi is causing havoc, not just for the fact that he's as skilled with the ball as Carrasco, but that's not for that one. But for the fact that his runs and the timing of those runs and deliveries, and now he's making better decisions in the final third, which is something that he has also improved. And that's why I think we are now talking about him. Because the Lodi we know, when he's in good positions, he always, most of the times, his decision making was questionable, and that results in him maybe overheating a cross or underheating a cross. So that's great improvement for him. I think another player we should talk about is Hector Herrera. Because if you watch the game keenly, especially in the second half, you kind of see how he complements Kondogbia. Kondogbia is not the best with the ball. Not that he's bad, but he's not really the best with the ball because it takes a lot of time to take a touch. And then when he has space, yeah, he does it. But Herrera is kind of doing very good because he's tight, he does well in close areas. He's also calm under pressure, and he has started 3 games in a row, which is basically the first time since joining Aleti, if I'm not mistaken. So, do you think going forward, Herrera should continue as a starter? Because we have been talking about the fact that anyone who plays well deserves to start, and because there have been many players.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Herrera. I've always been the defender. He wasn't necessarily at his best. But this season, he has been really good. I think he's gone under the radar. His long balls, his passing. This is the Herrera that we meant to buy in that transfer window. This is the Herrera that we wanted. This season, with the partnership with him, Kondogbia, Kondogbia does his work, and then Herrera sort of does his work, and together that makes the midfield so much complete, which I think that had been lacking a tiny bit. Just a question is, how do you fit Rodrigo de Paul into that? He's getting sort of less minutes because of poor performances. Is there a chance that we could squeeze both three in? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, that would be tough because it seems at the moment Herrera and Kondogbia, who was stopped in the game because he was injured. No update from Aleti about his injury. Hopefully, it's not something very serious. It seems it might be a minor injury. As well, Rodrigo de Paul, where we all know his qualities and how good he is with the ball and without the ball, because he's really a runner. But he's kind of fall down the pecking order, and he's behind even Hector Herrera at the moment. So you have to make use of the little game time he has to maybe win back Cholo's trust, or maybe depending on the position he comes in games in which maybe Aleti may have a lot of possession. So, look, you can recall the episode we recorded about Aleti's game in the transfer window. We mostly talked about the fact that Aleti needed a defensive midfielder, and we also emphasized on the fact that Aleti need to press high, a little bit higher on the pitch. And those are the two things Cholo has maybe changed in this Aleti side. Given the defensive midfielder, holding midfielder in Kondogbia, and now the team is pressing higher up. If you read, and there was an article this week from Into the Card, they run about the fact that the way Aleti play now, the foundations were kind of laid against Levante. Aleti played in a similar way with similar ideas. And due to the fact that the press was not cohesive, Levante were able to find spaces between the find players between the lines, and that caused a lot of trouble for Aleti. But recently, Aleti have been compact. You see Correa and Felix as the front two press. They try to make sure that they block the central progression to the defensive midfielder or the midfielder, and try to force the opposition out wide, where that is where now Aleti press. But Aleti's press is kind of, I will not say one-sided, but most of it against Celta's left-hand side was their strongest side, same with United, in which Luchon is the one who progresses the ball higher of the pitch with his carries, and same for Celta with Javi Galan. But on that side, we have Vachalico and Eman Lorente, who are very athletic and good at pressing. So far, so good. Those two things Cholo have changed are working. And on the last time we had Evie, and we were talking about the fact that should Cholo move forward against this, and Evie was like, no, depending on the opposition, Aleti should not maybe play like this. So, think going forward, do you think Cholo continue with this press, forcing opposition out wide, and use the touchline as our third man, try to press and cover them and force them to recover the ball? Or maybe against the side of Getafe, we go for maybe a different approach, or maybe against teams that play better from behind, like every mention, we go with something else?
And I think that needs to be a ground for consistency. I did see a tweet there before, even before the United match, or it was included, the match was included in the stat that Simeone has changed 23 formations out, 25 matches this season, which is kind of insane to think about. There's absolutely no consistency in that whatsoever. And yeah, we can factor in the injuries that resulted, and obviously COVID, but still, that's a high enough number that it's not really something you'd expect from Simeone, who's usually good with making up his mind. But hopefully, like, I'm liking what I'm saying now, especially we got Llorente back fitness, and then we have Lodi and Carrasco. We don't know what's happening there. We definitely have defensive stability. We can definitely play those wings, and those past three matches, we can see we can definitely attack through those wings. So I think we should play like that.
Well, hopefully we play like that, because that's what we are trying for. We can all remember we talked about the game Atleti won 6-0 against Rayo Majadahonda. My pronunciation is getting better. And we talk about emphasize on the fact that Atleti scored 4 goals in that game due to the fact that they were able to press high and win the ball, and Colombia acted as the anchor of the defense, which was able to show things. He recovered the ball and make the team press a little bit higher using his athleticism and his physicality. It was not easy for Rayo to launch counter-attacks. And that is what we have been seeing recently, but even though not the same, but with similar ideas. So, going forward, as we already talked about, we said Cholo should maybe continue with that, because I have no objection with him continuing that, but that highly depends on Condombia, in my opinion, because talking about the negative of this game, there were two of them which I had, which worried me a lot. One of them was the fact that Bashalipo drifts inwards a lot, and that kind of allow Galan a lot of space. And thanks to Aliti, we had Lorente who saw that and was able to cover up for him. But Lorente doing that kind of take away Aliti straight on the counter, because it leaves the midfield a little bit exposed, and you have Uriah dropping back into midfield, and Aliti has just Felix up top. And the other was the fact that when Colombia left the field, I think if you notice the last 20 minutes of that game, because Colombia was subbed off at the 16th minute, Aliti were kind of struggling. Celta had more control. They won the second balls, which that was something Colombia was doing. And they caused Aliti a lot of trouble with their give and go. It was like the Aliti we saw against Getafe. They were chaotic. So do you think Aliti can implement a cohesive press without Colombia?
Not too sure. He'll play in his place. Obviously, it was that the reason why he can not be started against United was because Kolke was injured. I don't know if we would have seen a completely different match. That way, you can see that and that be, he can soak up that pressure that is given on us. But I think that in a way we could play that certain way, but the midfield would have to slightly adjust. I don't think anyone could replace Kondogbia in that formation that we're playing.
Well, I agree with you on that, but I just saw into the Calderon just now, he's talking about the fact that Cholo has played Jose Maria as a defensive midfielder so Cholo should try that again. Well, I for one am not a fan of that move, given Jose Maria is kind of attracted to the ball, and it will be easy for opposition team to draw him out of position, and you'll find him always trying on recover, and then you see him committing lots of fouls. So Atleti play Betis next. Atleti are a point behind Real Betis, and they have played an extra game. Betis plays Sevilla in El Gran Derby, possibly the best derby in La Liga. So for that game, who are the players, or who do you think Cholo starts in midfield? Because Atleti winning the midfield has been a reason why they won against Celta today, and they had a very good performance and almost came and with the win against United on Wednesday, and all that was thanks to Colombia. Because it's just out now. Colombia has a muscular discomfort, but it's not clear for how long he's going to be out. So let's consider the fact that Colombia may not be playing against Betis and also Savic. How do you think Cholo is going to line up?
I think definitely Herrera should start. There's no reason not to start. Koke is still probably still injured. Not as fit. So I would say Herrera, maybe Paul. And then with obviously Llorente, and I'll give Carrasco a return because I think against Betis he might be more efficient than Lodi. So I think, yeah. Oh, and then I have to think a bit more. Oh, thank God I'm not Diego Simeone because I wouldn't. That would wreck my head. I don't know how that man sleeps at night.
Exactly. It's really giving Aliti have so many secondary strikers that he has to select just maybe two or three to start. So
I don't know. I'll go with Carrasco, Lamar, Herrera, and Llorente. Maybe that's a completely horrendous choice, but this is the answer.
Luckily, you are not Diego Simeone because it seems impossible for you to select a starting 11 again.
Yeah. That's a quiet attacking midfield there. Maybe instead of Lamar, I'll put DePaul. But yeah, Carrasco, DePaul, Herrera, and Llorente. Maybe that's a bit stable.
Well, for those who are not quite sure, as Luke, as Fortune is going to take, choose for starting 11 against Betis, I too am not sure. Like you said, thank God we are not choosing money because choosing a starting 11 is always tough. And also, regarding how Aliti has been playing recently, and we already talked about that, but I just want to emphasize Aliti's recent good performance is down to a couple of things. The first is due to the fact that the team are pressing as a unit. They are more cohesive. They are compact while pressing. That means no more spaces between the lines. And they try to slow down the opposition should the opposition bypass their first phase of press, which is the two attackers, which in the past two games have been Felix and Correa. And they try to force the opposition to use the wide areas rather than progressing centrally, as we have seen teams say Aliti apart all season. And if you progress centrally, technically you take a longer road to goal. And when Aliti forces it centrally now, they then use the touch line to maybe force the team to play backward pass or recover the ball or run them to pass the ball where you have Colombia recovering the ball. That's why we talk about Colombia being so important. And the other thing has been that we have had Jimenez and Savic who are back from injury and both have played quite well. So against Betis, I will opt for a three at the back. And I'm saying so because I'm hoping Koke will be fit. To be honest, I really miss the ball playing ability of Yomoso because we knew, despite the fact he's defensively solid, to be honest, he kind of get me on my nerves at times. And since because you'll see they are passes in between the lines, but he's not really the best ball playing player. So he turns and he gives to Oblak, and Oblak has to go long, and that's a 50-50. And the faster the ball goes, so the faster the ball comes. But I will still start him, and Savic is out for the game, so I'll go Felipe and then Jimenez. That means Felipe plays centrally. I say so because last season when Felipe played as maybe the left or the right center back, he was really, really horrible. And as the wing backs, I go with Vachalico and I go with Carrasco. And in midfield, if Koke is back, I think I play him as the anchor. And I play Rodrigo De Paul and Llorente as the interiors, given they are energetic and both of them can run higher up the pitch, up and down the pitch. And for my two center forwards, given Betis is going to have so much of the ball, I don't go for Suarez. And without Cunha, that leaves just Griezmann, Felix, and Correa. So I think I would choose one of those guys, and Griezmann looks sharp because he has really been good in front of goal, not in terms of finishing, but in terms of creating opportunities or shooting opportunities for himself. So that's the formation. I think I go with the 3-5-2, but with a change of personnel and a change of goal. If Koke is not back, then we go for a 4-4-2, in which basically we have a back four, Savage and maybe a Moso Felipe, and we have Renildo as the left back, and Carrasco plays as left midfielder. I have a midfield duo of Ferreira and Depol, which is risky, and I have Lemar playing as a right midfielder, and I have a front two of Griezmann and one of Correa or Felix, also one either Correa or Felix. So that's how I will line up against Betis. I say so because Betis have the key Canales. When they receive centrally, it's really dangerous for opposition teams, and hopefully Aleti are able to repeat what they have done. And Betis don't have the best ball playing center backs, even though they have been the best team to watch, the most entertaining team, because we watch and they play free football and you watch Canales controlling games, and you have Fike, who has been one of the best players in the league this season. So look, after struggling to be your 11, what's your take on our opponent for next week? That's Betis, because Aleti are a point behind them, and given they play the El Gran Derby tomorrow, the chances of them winning are not slim, but they are not so great. So what's your take on Betis?
For the Grand Derby, he's on the way. Betis are a good team. They do deserve their position on the table. The likes of Aitor Rubial and Juanmi and Canales and Becker and Carvalho. They are very their game changes for Betis. But I don't think they have the greatest of defence. Mark Bartra, as much as I did rate him on his fourth season, he was decent back for Betis. He's very mistake prone. Rui Silva was a great keeper for Granada last year. But I think that's a Luis Suarez match. I think that Luis Suarez, that would be perfect match for him for that defence. And you have both Hector Bellerin and Alex Moreno, two fullbacks that like to get forward. So that'd be a great way to play for a counter-attack.
Yeah, I think you will not be surprised if Aleti go for a counter-attack against Betis. Earlier on in the season, Aleti defeated Real Betis by 3-0, and Aleti achieved that victory by limiting the amount of touches Fekir had centrally in that game. So if Aleti can repeat something similar, that would be great, because you have someone like Fekir receiving the ball by an Aleti midfield, very dangerous, which is something that has happened all season by the two previous games. So the key for that game, like you said, will be a counter-attack, but in order to counter, we'll have to really defend very well. That is, somebody like Canales, force them to take the ball deeper. Force them to come and take the ball deeper. I remember Betis' opening game of the season and against Mallorca, you had Fekir dropping so deep to collect the ball, and by the time it's about to arrive close to Mallorca's goal, you are either Baba has recovered the ball or he's fouled far away from the goal. So Aleti doing something similar might work against them. I talk about Betis fullbacks who are very offensive. Alex Moreno, I think he is a similar case to Lodi in the fact that he's one of the best fullbacks when it comes to attacking space, really making runs from outside in, and you have Canales or Fekir for picking him out. So we can maybe exploit the spaces behind them. And that's not all. You talk about Juanmi. Juanmi has been really on fire this season. statistically, he's having one of his best, in fact, his best scoring season, his best goal scoring season. He's already on 12 goals. That's his highest goals he has ever scored in a single season in La Liga. So, and given how Aliti has not really been good in communicating, in the game against Celta today, when Kondogbia was not on the pitch, like the last 20 minutes, Aliti were kind of struggling. You kind of see a lot of miscommunication. Carrasco and Lima going for the same ball, even in the box. You have Savic and Herrera kind of colliding. So those things, hopefully, they don't happen against Betis because Juanmi is like what we call a fox in the box, Chicharito kind of striker, in which a single mistake and he's there to punish you. And given the form he is in this season, Aliti should be wary. So look, I'm going to put you in a position I think you don't like to be in. What's your score position for Aliti against Betis?
Oh, I don't know. That can be. I'd be 3-10 to Aliti. I think it'll be, it'd probably be Ali's score match.
Wow. Well, I'm very good at predicting, so I keep my prediction for myself. Well, so before we go, I think it's good to mention the fact that the fans have been behind the team all throughout. The atmosphere against Real Madrid, against Man United was really outstanding. The atmosphere today against Celta was outstanding, and the traveling support has been great. So, don't you think Aliti playing away from home without the fans who have been giving them that extra boost, making them play at a higher rate, at a higher tempo, more intensity, do you think that it might affect them when they play against Betis?
Yeah, and you're going to Real Betis. You're going to the Benito Villamarin, which has an equal impact for their team. You'd say the fans at the Metropolitano will give those players a boost, but Real Betis fans and Benito Villamarin will give those Real Betis fans a boost. They're a great fan base, a fantastic atmosphere, that team. So I think that might have an impact on how Betis will perform regardless. It's just how Atleti will respond to it. That's the question.
Exactly. Because Aliti have played just since Cholo switched teams and Aliti started performing very well. Aliti have not played away from home. And talking about home records, Betis have the second best home record just behind Real Madrid, and they have not lost single game at the Benito Villamarin this season. So it's going to be a tough away trip for Aliti, and a win against Betis will be really, really welcome, because that takes Aliti closer to Betis, depending on the result. Because should Betis lose against Sevilla in the El Gran Derby, that means a win for Aliti takes Aliti above Betis on the league standing. But a defeat might really be bad for Aliti. So thank you guys for joining us on this episode of the PAP Podcast. Luke, it's always a pleasure having you on the episode.
An absolute pleasure talking to you, man.
So guys, remember, nunca dejas de creer, never stop believing.